You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment here on KPHX 1480 in Phoenix, brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. I am producer and film commentator Joseph J. Erdo, and in studio getting ready here, right here, is Dave Isaac and Trisha, and out over there on the board is Eric.
Can you see
Reinert?
Me? Can you see me in here?
It's scary.
I see you.
It's scary.
They took out my lamp.
They took out your lamp.
Actually, I see you better.
Really?
Yeah, and I like the opening where you go, or something like that. Now that's better.
You know what? Yeah, that's the Crypt Keeper. And you know why I'm doing that?
No.
Is he on again?
No, he's not on again. There's a lot of surprises throughout the month. It is Breakthrough Entertainment's four-week, month-long Halloween hullabaloo. And today we're kicking it off with the third installment of our Songs Made Scary by Horror Movie series. That is why we are playing Don't Fear the Reaper by the Blue Oyster Cult. It's from a lot of different horror movies. It's got a nice new meaning to it after you see certain movies like Halloween, Gone Girl, which we'll be talking about today.
And I saw Gone Girl.
We'll get there.
Okay. Lots of people have seen Gone Girl.
And also, we played this song on a previous show, a different artist singing this song for the Frighteners with Michael J. Fox. Okay, I liked it. I'm sorry. And this,
of course you did.
This is rumored to be, or Stephen King has said that this song was the inspiration for The Stand. This was his inspiration for The Stand. Well, the book that he wrote, you know, before the movie.
Right, but, of course. Everything's a book with him.
Of course, of course. But Stephen King, we're playing a lot of his songs, not his songs, but movies, songs from his movies today, because our first movie that we'll be talking about a little bit during the segment is A Good Marriage. It's a new Stephen King movie.
You saw it?
Ooh.
Well, should we ask if you liked it?
No, don't tell us. Don't tell us.
Keep it separate.
It's not that often that Eric watches a movie to share with us.
Well, I mean, you know, if it's a trailer, I can get through that sometimes. But, you know, I like Stephen King movies for the most part. I mean, I'd say about 80% of them are crap, but but like The Shawshank Redemption, one of my favorite movies.
Oh, that is good.
Come on, It?
I haven't seen it.
It?
You I haven't have not, seen it.
You haven't seen
oh,
It?
Oh, The Hand on Adam's Family. It's really good. I like it.
No, It is a really scary clown. I'm sure we'll be talking about him a little bit later, too. And
if it's on Netflix, I'll check it out. I know I'm pretty sure The Stand is.
I'm sure The Stand is, yeah. And then we'll be talking about a few different Stephen King movies today, because he's one of those filmmakers who are not... he's an author. And he also wrote several of the screenplays for these movies.
Good Marriage he wrote.
Yes, he wrote A Good Marriage.
First one since Pet Sematary.
Yes.
See, I did my homework.
There you go. And Pet Sematary was awesome.
That was good.
Well, that's kind of a cult classic.
Yes.
I mean, the book and then the movie Ramones. Hello.
The Ramones, a singing group.
Yes, they sang the I Don't Want to Be Buried in a Pet Cemetery.
And I almost used
that. I didn't know that.
I almost used that song on today's show, but it wasn't exactly an innocent sounding song.
No, it was made for that movie, so that doesn't count.
Right. Well, and some of them you'll hear today were made particularly for the movies, but they aren't exactly what you'd think would be in a horror movie, so that's what today is all about. We've done this twice before. Think Jeepers Creepers from Jeepers Creepers. Creepers, of course, Tiptoe Through the Tulips from Insidious.
Oh, can you sing that?
Tiny Tim?
Tiptoe through the window. That was the window.
Come on, that was that song was frightening no matter what.
Yes, I know.
No, Tiny
hey,
Tim
you sound
is
like the guy. You sound
Tiny
like
Tim. Tim is frightening.
How long did you practice that?
We did this like every week last Halloween, didn't we?
Oh, we did? I don't remember.
Yeah. And this is three weeks.
Greg's here.
3 weeks.
We're doing it one better. It's 4 weeks. And yeah, talk about scary. Look what the cat dragged in.
I know.
I'm just teasing.
No, Greg has a nice haircut and everything.
Yeah, he's looking good.
And I know that Greg loves horror movies, so he's going to have a great time today.
Mm-hmm. You're being facetious, right?
No, he does love horror movies.
I didn't know that.
My life's a horror movie.
I don't like it.
Well, that's not the one you like, though. It's always fun to see worse things on film.
I like the Halloween movies.
Yes.
I think Michael Myers is an interesting fellow.
Yes. Yeah. You like him, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh yeah, married an axe murderer. Remember that?
That's a good one. Yeah.
Mike Myers.
That's a good not Mike horror. Myers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scream is good.
Isn't
like
Mike
Scream.
Myers the guy we invited over for dinner the other day?
He was.
He likes it like extra raw, right?
He did.
Oh,
yeah.
That guy. Oh yeah.
Yeah. You guys all live together?
We don't have a dog anymore.
We eat together sometimes.
Oh, you had Chinese.
It was a Chinese poodle.
Yeah, Michael Myers had some Mr. Lee. So.
Hey, do the Tiny Tim again. I liked it. No, that was
sounds
good.
Like a day's rain. I'm like, tiptoe through the window, through the window.
Let me go grab my ukulele.
That's too funny.
Eric, I feel like I'm getting
really
extremely high in here from this lovely carpet smell.
Me.
Isn't it awesome?
I like it. Do you like this? Can we roll? Yeah. Have you done a roll
actually,
in the hay already?
I actually see Joseph flying in the air right now.
It's nice.
Kathleen and I have both taken off our shoes and run our toes.
Well, but we want Eric to elevate this a little bit. Any roll in the hay on the carpet?
No, but yesterday when I walked in and I saw the new carpet, I was like, oh man, I feel like I should take my shoes off. And
and then what happened?
I was told that that's what everybody says.
And then a big party tonight.
Oh wait,
here?
Am I supposed to take my shoes off
after the show today?
I haven't taken my shoes off yet.
Oh
wow.
Hey, my pedicure matches the carpet. It really looks really
see
good.
Now everyone's feet are out, and that's what really is scary.
I don't
like feet.
Oh,
like feet?
That's scary.
You don't have a foot fetish.
Tell us about that.
Kathleen's rubbing her feet in it right now.
Oh, nice.
Like,
and it's so nice to see Kathleen again because we don't see her often, and you look really great.
She is
great,
radiant
by the way.
And gorgeous.
You look excellent.
As always.
Yeah. Eric, you are a lucky man. Yes,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, hello. Don't you see the smile on his face?
Yes.
She walks in the door and this big grin just goes.
Yes,
ear
it's
to ear.
True. Very exciting.
I'm smiling because I'm very happy.
Well, yes. Excellent. I think that's really good.
That's the best way to be.
Yeah, it is.
I think Kathleen's here because she wants to meet creative director Philip A. Cruden and production manager Lorraine Cruden from the Hero of Color City. They will be in studio with us in our second hour.
Yeah, they live in Phoenix.
That's exactly why she's here.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we don't have these people coming in studio.
She said she's here for the carpet.
Oh.
Well, and the people coming in studio are here for the carpet. They heard about this.
We were trying to impress them, right?
Big news. Yeah. Big news.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, it does feel good.
So, but we got a lot of different guests on today. Of course, we also
make
have
sure
on
my feet are clean.
Very soothing. Well, they are now after rubbing them in the carpet.
Yeah. Oh, it got stuck in there. Oh, so,
we have
it's a trade-off: clean feet, dirty carpet.
Wow. Yeah. It really does look great, though. Wow, they've done a nice job.
It is nice in here.
It's getting cool in here, huh?
Yeah, very cool. Yeah.
And you know, so one of our first guests today in this.
Well, say that again. You almost have foots or something.
One of our first guests today is producer.
I think he does have a foot fetish. He's just not.
I want to hear about the fetish.
Jack H. Harris.
He is the producer of The Blob.
I know.
I am so excited about this.
How old is this guy?
96, and he's the guy who discovered Steve McQueen.
Yes. Yeah. He's responsible for a lot of these horror movies. The
we better
Eyes
get him
horror.
On soon.
Yeah.
Was he the original
Blob? Well,
he's still traveling the world at 96. What are you talking about?
Do you want to hear how fun this is? And not that any of you guys will care, but Trisha and Dave might. Steve McQueen is the grandpa of Luke Robitaille's stepson.
Woo!
Yes.
Wow.
Luke Robitaille, one of the great hockey players
sports
of all time.
Into the entertainment.
Steve McQueen is the grandpa?
Yes.
I thought Robitaille Steve McQueen married. Died.
No, right.
Well,
right.
His genes carried on, baby.
The great the Robitaille married McQueen Jr. Like the mom or I don't know, but they're related somehow in like step.
Oh, that's interesting, really, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I had no idea about
that's
that.
A cold bloodline.
Yeah.
And have you ever gone on a one night stand and then, of course, got stuck the next morning?
Oh,
no, got stuck. Yeah, well, that's another story.
Oh, I saw that trailer.
One night
stand.
I
remember a few years ago.
And you think you're never going to see the girl again, and then all of a sudden you get stuck in the car the very next morning with her?
No.
Nowadays, you'd write hashtag stuck. We're going to be talking about the new movie that opens next week. It's called hashtag stuck. And
John Cusack.
No, that's Drive.
Oh, Drive, that's the other one.
We have on.
Oh, yeah, forgot. Sorry.
Yeah. No, this is.
You're right.
Breaking news real quick.
Yeah.
Sorry to butt in, but Bobby just called, and she was one of the ticket winners for Bill Maher.
Oh.
And she said she just came up with an emergency, so we have a pair of Bill Maher tickets.
Oh.
Woohoo.
What?
Wow, really?
We do.
Oh,
I'm sure we probably have some listeners out there
Where'd
that
the
are
clock,
very
though?
Interested
oh, no,
in
you're
that.
Going to ruin
we're missing
the whole
clock.
Show. Dave won't
here,
know where his
grab
clock
the clock
is.
And I'll put it on
here,
the table.
Get the clock now. We're going to pause the show.
I got my Mickey watch.
Oh, long as Mickey's there.
Sometime in this 3 hours, there might be a chance for someone to win some tickets.
It's looking that way.
Awesome.
I mean, I don't know what else we're going to do with them, but give them away.
Is one of Bobby's cats sick?
Yes, I think it was
giving
that.
Birth or something.
I think you're right, Greg. I think it had. I think that's just what she told me. It was something to do with animals.
But that's what Bobby has done every single time I've invited her to
Flaky
a bar
Bobby.
Crawl. I know.
Yeah.
I've stood outside bars waiting to meet Bobby, and she just never shows.
She acted so excited to get these tickets, and then you know, I mean, I don't care. Let the doggies, you know, suffer or whatever while you go watch Bill Maher. It's only an hour.
Now wait a minute. No, I'm just teasing. But you know what?
Well,
I will tell you.
The cats can let suffer. Maybe not the dogs.
I will. Tell you this, that it's sometimes very hard to live up to the hype, and you know, Bobby has been so hyped that, you know, maybe she's worried about living up to that hype.
Oh, maybe she's really
maybe she
not in existence, and she calls from a different dimension, and no one could see her.
Right, I'm beginning to believe that.
Well, she is in a bunker,
theory.
Right?
She could
didn't
be invisible.
Say she lives in a bunker.
She could have done spooning every night with you, and you wouldn't know because you couldn't see her.
I promise you, Bobby is the slutty pumpkin. You know, I'm Ted. I'm waiting out there every single time, and then the slutty pumpkin never arrives. I'm sorry, Bobby. Eventually, I'm going to give up. I'm going to go with the girl with the yellow umbrella.
Who's that?
I don't know yet. Oh. We'll have to find out. Stay tuned to Breakthrough Entertainment. But you know, it's really
now the
exciting.
Next bar crawl. All these women are going to show up with yellow umbrellas.
Oh no, she's going to talk to you now.
I don't. Should we put her on the air? Because I don't want to take this call by myself. I mean,
but
sure.
Just go ahead, put her on the air.
Yeah,
Bobby.
Bobby.
Slutty pumpkin. Let me tell you.
You're a slutty pumpkin.
I'm hyped up, but I'm in the midst of a pack of dogs. People had to go out of town. And the gal was going to go with her daughter went through a couple of epileptic fits. She's a Down syndrome baby.
Oh.
So I didn't want to hustle. I don't have the time to hustle around and find anybody else to give them to that I consider worthy of your tickets. And Joseph.
Yes?
I am looking for a woman. I am computerized.
You're looking for a woman?
For him.
For you.
For her. For Joseph.
Oh.
Yeah, because Joseph has
you
to
give
start
Slutty
out.
Pumpkin a new name.
One must learn patience, little mushroom.
Oh, okay.
How do you know he's a little mushroom? That's what I want to know.
Bobby, he's 30 years old, for God's sakes.
Well,
I wasn't talking age.
Mushrooms are mushrooms, and you don't know what anatomical feature I am talking about. I am talking.
Yeah, we get it.
Between the ears.
Oh, okay, yeah.
As long as it's not a mushroom cloud, which it's not, because there's a lot more than gas between those ears.
It's more of a dust cloud. Can you imagine someone maybe 5'4½", maybe 110 pounds, but muscular, pouncing on a dog that is 120 pounds, so that it doesn't pounce on a dog that's 140 pounds, and there's a dog.
Sounds like bestiality.
In the middle. No. It's like a dog fight, and I've been in those before. And I know how to deal with them, but you use a lot of adrenaline. And after that event is done and you get it all calmed down, there's nothing left but maybe a slutty pumpkin.
Hey, very good. Bobby, you got to find a couple skanks for Joseph. He can try it out, and then he'll be ready for his perfect girl after that.
With carvings all in the right places.
Joseph, just be patient, my dear child.
Okay.
Mother Hubbard here and Aunt Bobby is trying to find something that will conform to your imagination and expectations.
Very nice.
Ooh.
That's quite a sensation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll keep
and there's
waiting.
Other words I can rhyme with that.
And there are a couple of Halloween bar crawls, so we'll have some stories to talk about.
Now,
Joseph, put Leroy away.
Corn doesn't go stale because I've had a bag of organic corn with a golden ribbon.
Oh, non-GMO.
Frozen.
Okay.
Aww,
yes, thank you.
That's so sweet.
So, see, that's what I'm concerned about.
Me
the
too.
Animals, yes. People, we can figure those out.
Okay. Well, that works for me. Well, thank you very much, Bobby. And, you know, you're going to stay with us all October long, right? Because we're going to celebrate October Halloween.
You got it. You got it, Ducky.
Hey, I got a great idea. Wait, Bobby, before you go. Why can't we have a slutty pumpkin contest to see who can make the sluttiest pumpkin?
I think that would be awesome.
I do too.
Can we do that, Eric?
I don't know. We'd have to put a little more thought into it.
Oh.
Yes, put more thought into it. And is this a human slutty pumpkin or a slutty pumpkin carving?
Oh, I think a human would be good.
No American Pie stuff here. No.
No, I think good human action, right? What do you think, Jeff?
That is something to ponder.
It would be human.
Well, yeah. Human,
or else we won't do it.
It's a pondering piece.
Yeah.
We'll think
about
it.
We're going to ponder off the air, Bobby.
Good day.
Yes.
And I've got to go and get a bunch of animals ready for PetSmart on, I think it's on Warner. that the, a bunch are going up for adoption today.
On Warner? Oh.
Very nice.
Oh, yeah. Southeast.
Very good.
Yeah, yeah, we adopt. I keep trying to get adopted, but damn, they just say I'm too renegade, too rebel, and they need duct tape for my mouth.
And I'm not even doing those sound effects.
Yes, you are.
Well, that's really the pet smart dog.
That's not him.
That
that's really her.
Uh-oh. Be careful, Bobby.
Bye.
Oh, God, be careful. Be careful. Oh, well, I really hope that
I think she just got eaten by some dogs.
Cujo.
Yes, Cujo. That is Stephen King.
Hey, that's sort of cool. Slutty pumpkin. I never heard of that before.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about it. But we got it. Uh-oh. No, there's the last one.
That's bad. Just,
but, you know.
Yo quiero taco bell.
We got to talk about a good marriage right now. Oh. But right before we get to that, I got breaking news just to let you know.
Yeah?
There was an Elsa, a Queen Elsa ornament at Hallmark this year.
Sold out.
Just came out today. People are actually rioting at the Hallmarks throughout Phoenix. And I'm not kidding. This is breaking news. People are going nuts because if you did not order her ahead of time, then she's gone. So both Elsa and Olaf. So
what do you like, call an escort service or something?
What?
To order Elsa and Olaf, please. Menage a trois with ornaments.
Trust me, I still haven't come up with a Halloween costume, and I have seriously looked at the Elsa costume and gave it some thought.
Really? You were going to wear an Elsa
No,
costume?
I was never going to. But I looked at the costume
you thought
and I was
about
like,
it.
Maybe
I think
this
it'd be
is
good
for my
in
own
Olaf.
Personal
you'd
use.
Be good Olaf.
Nobody could see him then.
Oh, that's why you'd be good.
That's fine. Right.
No, I'm kidding. Just teasing about that. Yes. Okay, sing
well,
tiny again.
He was
again.
Talking about finding a woman that could look very
yes.
good
oh.
in that
costume.
Elsa costume.
You see the theme developing?
Outfit.
He sings Dress. Tiny Tim.
Yeah.
She calls in with some little mushroom. There's a theme developing
well,
here, right, Eric?
Joseph, how many women do you know with 4-inch eyes and 2-inch waist?
Thank you.
I'm still looking. That's why I keep going to these bar crawls. I will find one.
That's why he keeps watching. And
the best, you know, I'm going to find one on Halloween.
Good luck with that.
Okay. Well, stay tuned to Breakthrough Entertainment.
Are you going
to
find the woman?
Well, we'll see. You know, this is not like a premonition type of show. We had that earlier in the year.
No, I have some ESPN going on in my head right now.
Just remember that cartoons cannot come fully to life because they are
Yeah, but if you have a pump, they can because you could, you know,
okay,
the blow-up dolls.
Okay. Well,
Dave, we'll talk about that briefly during the break probably, but you do have ESPN, but you know what? You also have a good marriage. Let's talk about that briefly.
Okay.
Joan Allen plays a faithful wife who, when her husband, played by Anthony LaPaglia from my favorite movie of all time, Mixed Nuts, departs for a business trip, unearths evidence that exposes his monstrous true nature. So basically, this is a short story written by Stephen King, and Joan Allen is this, you know, she's this very faithful wife. She's got a good marriage. Everyone around her, kids and the family, friends, say, you know, your marriage is excellent. And then we'll have him call back. Well, he can stay on the line for a few minutes if he'd like. Our guest is on, so I just, you know, we want to get through our review here, behind the scenes info. But so basically, Anthony LaPaglia's character turns out to be a serial killer. So no spoilers there. You know, it's kind of the premise of the film. So what does she do with this? You know, you're kind of stuck in this marriage. You're kind of a little bit scared. Of course, what do you do? He's killed before. And
but he loves his wife.
He does love his wife.
And it's hard for anybody to believe if she were to say anything because in the front,
but she has evidence.
Perfect.
She does have evidence.
But most judges don't look at evidence nowadays.
I don't know.
Who?
So let's go ahead and, you know, who wants to, I'm excited that Eric has seen
actually
A Good
it.
Marriage. What did you think of it?
Okay.
Okay.
Mediocre, but it had potential.
Okay.
I mean, he could have thrown in a plot twist in there, maybe even a couple, and it would have been an awesome movie. It was watchable. That's all I got. That's all I can say.
Mm. Oh, okay. Well, there's that. I'm sorry, Stephen King, but we have other people who've watched
it. But it was like a flat line to me. It was just like straight through, and you expected so much more out of it, and I could see so much stuff coming that never happened.
All right. Fair enough.
You know, it's interesting that Anthony LaPaglia, in 1993, tried to save his best friend from a serial killer wife, and so I married an axe murderer, and now he's a serial killer himself. I have not seen the movie. I have no idea, but it sounds interesting.
Yeah. Well, how about Trisha? Dave, have you seen the movie, A Good Marriage?
Have you? No, well, but she lives it.
I was going to say I live a good marriage, but I think it's now going to be called a great marriage, my love. No serial killers allowed.
No, none. I did see the trailer. I thought it looked quite good.
Okay.
Yeah, but it looks suspenseful, a thriller type. And I think Joan Allen is excellent, by the way.
That was a problem. It looks like it's going to be suspenseful.
But it never developed.
But it never really gets
I got you.
Well, which is kind of interesting because Stephen King really is talented in that area.
Not really when he writes or directs movies, in my opinion.
Mm. I don't know. No, I see where you're coming from, Eric, but I like this movie a lot. It's a considerably disquieting thriller. Again, it's based on a short story written by master of horror Stephen King. Say what you will, this guy's a legend.
And his first screenplay since Pet Sematary.
Well, again, you did your research. Good job. I thought it sends shivers down the spine of its viewers as they contemplate how they would react under such unsettling circumstances.
See, I felt like it could have done that, and it just never got there.
I thought it did it. I thought, again, I see where you're coming from. It wasn't a perfect movie, but I definitely thought I was getting, it was eerie.
It
to
wasn't
me.
A perfect marriage. It was a good marriage.
Yes, it was. Yes, yes, yes. And, the story is littered with improbable plot points. There's a lot of things in there that just don't make sense. I mean,
sure.
Do they like show crime scene photos online where anyone can
I know. We were talking about that as we were watching it. We were like, really? How can you get that online?
Exactly. So, that and several other plot points are a little bit troubling. But Anthony LaPaglia, I thought, was excellent. He plays creepy.
He was good.
He's impeccably good at playing creepy. As Dave said, Joan Allen is always great.
His Australian accent slipped a few times.
Yes, it did. It did. Joan Allen effortlessly evokes the whirlwind of emotions from disbelief to fear to outrage that her character requires. The motion picture is certain to plant seeds of doubt in even your most intimate relationship. I'm not going to ask Eric this, but I know that Kathleen's not on the mic, but Kathleen, any doubt after watching this movie?
I can put her on the mic.
Any doubt after watching A Good Marriage that Eric might have some secrets that you don't know about?
Absolutely not. No.
No? Okay.
No doubt.
All right. All
no
right.
Secrets. You're clear. And you're clear to travel.
Wait, I have a serious question. Are you guys even married?
Do you see a ring?
Oh, there we go.
Here, you can have mine.
It's go, like we're married.
Hey, some people say that's the perfect marriage.
That's what I was going to say.
Trisha didn't get it when I said that thing to Eric.
Well,
he said no ring, and I said he could have mine. See, I gave you a second chance to smack me around.
There we go. The reason they don't have that she doesn't have any seeds of doubt because I think she's in on it. All right. Well, let's get.
Well,
that's what the guy in the movie thought, right?
Yes. Exactly. Well, there you go. So we got a guest coming up shortly, but
he's waiting.
Well, we'll play our song and our break, and we'll come back. This is Tombstone Every Mile by Dick Curless from A Good Marriage. Remember this song? It wasn't this version.
But yeah, they had all the songs I recognized, but they were done by somebody else.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a really creepy song, of course, anytime you mention tombstones. So again, Tombstone Every Mile by Dick Curless from A Good Marriage.
And we will be right back. This is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix.
And Joseph, when we come back, we have, who's our guest?
We have producer Jack H. Harris from The Blob.
I am so excited for this.
Legendary.
And stay tuned because I have some very, very good stories about The Blob, and we'll be right back.
With potatoes and you're headed down, you gotta drive the woods.
Are you a restaurant owner who panics if your AC goes down in the dog days of summer? Extreme Cooling finds that equipment usually breaks down unnecessarily, costing restaurant owners time and money. For this reason, Extreme Cooling promotes and specializes in proactive service plans designed specifically to keep all of your refrigeration equipment operating properly, as designed, all year long. Extreme Cooling is here to help you with all of your refrigeration needs, knowing that saving money is your top concern. Our number is 623-810-8513. When you want to start saving money, call Extreme Cooling. Do you suffer from not having enough fun? We could take care of that. Pino's Palette is the upscale paint and bring your own beverage studio located off of Tatum and Shea. We're a group painting class where you can bring your own alcohol or non-alcoholic beverage, and our trained artists will lead you through step by step in recreating the featured painting of the night. No art experience necessary. Drink in one hand and paintbrush in another. We are a great night out for any occasion. Pino's Palette. Paint, drink, and have fun.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
More than 60,000 people are diagnosed with Parkinson's disease each year, thousands of them here in the Valley. Thankfully, one of the nation's top treatment facilities is located in the heart of Phoenix, the Muhammad Ali Parkinson Center. Parkinson Network of Arizona raises funds to help patients and families receive the crucial educational and activity-based classes offered through the center. 1480 and Parkinson Network of Arizona invite you to become involved and make a difference in the lives of those with Parkinson's. Go online to ParkinsonNetworkAZ.org to find out about upcoming events, including the largest Parkinson's walk in the state, Walk the Fight, and learn how your donation stays local to provide life-changing opportunities. Once again, that's ParkinsonNetworkAZ.org.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Beware of the blob, it creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor, right through the door, and all around the wall. A splotch, a blotch, be careful of the blob.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph J. Erdo, Greg Isaac, Eric Reinert, and the lovely Trisha. And this sounds like a song from Rio or something, the movie.
It sounds like it. And see, that's what today is all about. It is our songs made scary by horror movies show three. Yes. Which is the Roman numeral three, because that's how they do it in horror.
Right. That's how they do it in the movie business.
Yes, exactly. And so we have on someone from The Blob. He actually is responsible for The Blob. Producer Jack H. Harris. And thank you so much for joining us. You're legendary.
It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure. It's our pleasure. And, you know, so we've got a lot to talk about, but, you know, we want to get to that song. That is the theme song for the original film, The Blob, right?
That's correct.
Now, what's so interesting about that is that it's not a scary song, yet, you know what, after you see The Blob, I think it's kind of eerie. Don't you agree?
Yes, I do.
And so tell us...
Went through a lot of trouble originally to synchronize the card action on the blob card as it came up on the title, and when we turned the picture over to Paramount for distribution, Sidney Herman, who was the guy in charge of their musical department, called me about three times to tell me he had a wonderful idea about a title song, and I said, "Let's sit down and look at the title song the way it stands, and you'll see what I mean." So he says, "Well, I made a deal to include the Purple People Eater as your title song," and I said, I was horrified. I said, hey, let's look at this thing. So we took a look, and at the end of the screening, he looked at me and says, you're right. The hell with the purple people eater. let's go with something original. And I said, oh, my God. So a week later, I was sitting at a meeting, and there's a young fellow at the piano. His name Bert Bacharach. And it was early in his career, naturally. And he started playing. Well, it leaps, it creeps, it slides, it glides across the floor and through the door. Beware of the blob. And I was just smitten. I said, wow, that's got everything. So we made the change.
Right.
And the song was on a record, sold 3 million copies, and every time it was played, which was frequently, the audience was reminded of the blob. Didn't hurt us any.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, and so, but Jack, what's interesting is that the song is not scary when you hear it. You know, like you Dave said it sounded like it was from Rio or something.
It's kind of a catchy tune.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, it's very catchy. It's upbeat. It's like a dance tune. But then when you pair it with our memories of the blob, you know, it sends chills down your spine. And the blob is not the only movie that has done that. You know, there's a lot of, you know, Insidious and Jeepers Creepers. They've used these innocent sounding songs. What is that phenomenon? Why does that work?
Well, you see, sweet sounding songs, in a musical way, the theme song tells you about the movie. Also, in extreme danger, we need to feel loved. We also need a break from attention. The theme song often does that.
Mm-hmm.
So does a well-needed laugh at times. And the way that songs are selected for movies is quite as varied as you could imagine. The scores of 4D Man, The Thing, Frankenstein, Jaws, Dracula, and even The Blob all have one thing in common. That's the scores.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what's that?
The timpani, bum 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 bum, announces the entrance of the monster, and the theme song itself can be separate apart from that.
Okay, excellent.
Now you're. In my opinion, you're like the father of this genre and this unique pairing, but you also have caused the introduction of so many famous people. I mean, you just mentioned Burt Bacharach. We know about Steve McQueen and
Barbara Streisand sings. For the Eyes of Laura Mars.
I love that movie.
Yeah, yeah. It's just amazing. So what? How did this come about? What do you credit this to? What about you?
That's a short, sad story. Barbara Streisand was originally signed to play the main part in Eyes of Laura Mars. And about a month into the preparation, I get a call at 2 a.m. from Barbara, and she says, I'm sorry to wake you up, but I couldn't sleep. I said, well, now I can't either. What's the matter? She says, I've never done a horror movie, and I'm afraid that Eyes of Laura Mars has me scared, and I must bow out. And I know Barbara very well, and I said, look, if you're going to bow out, there's one thing you have to do for me. She says, anything. I said, okay, you said anything? You can sing the theme song. for Isa Laura Mars. And she readily agreed, and the rest is history. The other day, I checked with Google, and 4 years ago, someone wrote in, "I just watched Eyes of Laura Mars for the first time. I was very drawn in by this song at the beginning, very captivated by it at the end. Once I could see how the eye theme played into the lyrics, and to discover that it's sung by Barbara Streisand, really bowled me over." So that was a real hit, and it certainly didn't hurt the movie any.
Well, if it's any consolation, I think that Faye Dunaway did a fantastic job in that movie.
Pardon me?
Faye Dunaway did a great job.
Oh, Faye Dunaway did a hell of a job. And I still wonder whether Streisand wouldn't have been better for us, but that's all water under the bridge.
Well, I think Faye Dunaway had the acting chops, but I do agree with you that Streisand has some incredible eyes.
That's true, actually. Her eyes are beautiful.
The famous people I've discovered?
Yes.
That's out of the blue, but...
Steve McQueen.
Pardon me? Well, Steve McQueen, naturally.
Patty Duke.
Steve McQueen, very interestingly, Steve McQueen was married to the... gal who was an MGM starlet at that time, and he Neely Adams was her name, and he was looking around for things to do. I happened to see an episode on a dramatic show, and it was a father and son attorneys. They were defending a delivery boy. It was Playhouse 90, by the way. They were defending a delivery boy who was suspected of murdering a customer, and he sat there for practically the first half of the movie and just sat, and they argued in front of him, and finally he stood up and says, "Just a minute, will you please stop talking like I'm not here? I'm right here. I hear every word you say, and I didn't do it." And I thought, wow. What an actor. And I went to my director and I said, "We got the guy, Steve McQueen." And the director says, "He's horrible. He's a beast." I said, "What do you mean he's a beast?" He says, "He came here with Neely Adams to do a religious movie." And at that time, the director was tied up with religious films. And McQueen angered everybody on the set and got stopped by the cops for speeding in the neighborhood and caused us a lot of trouble. No, he's no good. And I said, okay. I was in New York the next week and looking at a play by a friend of mine, and the announcer could name many other people, but I think that story will kind of take the place of it.
I wonder if that's where Disney got the idea of Speed McQueen. The car.
Yes.
Oh,
Pixar, of course.
Oh, yeah, the car.
Because he was a race car driver.
That's right.
Lightning McQueen.
But Lightning McQueen, that was it. But Steve McQueen, he said, was pulled over for speeding.
Yeah.
Right then.
Oh, so I remember that.
Yeah, so it just all comes around.
I think it's
because
he
might have
been in the movie
Lightning
The Getaway, too, though. So then they put it together.
Now, Jack, this is Dave, and I remember it like yesterday. The year was 1958.
It was yesterday, Dave.
Yeah, and The Blob came out. It was the first horror picture I've ever seen, and I will now disclose, I was 8 years old then. And that scared me for months. I kept thinking The Blob was coming under my door. It was it was a great movie. Steve McQueen was fantastic. And as I look back, that was a classic. And but for an 8 year old, for me at least, it was pretty scary.
Well, you know, if you had never seen it before, and you would see it today for the first time, you'd get a reaction.
Oh, yeah. No, I thought it was great. I mean, I look back, and that's the only movie I remember when I was that young. That's the only movie, and it's vivid for me. I remember exactly where I was in Reseda, San Fernando Valley. I remember it was in the afternoon. I even remember I was eating candy, but I remember that distinctly. It really stuck. You did a great job in that movie to have someone remember that back in 1958.
Well, that's a good memory jogger. And one of the interesting things I do when traveling around the world, I would say to a new acquaintance, where were you when you saw The Blob? I didn't ask, did you see it? Where were you when you saw The Blob? And they would immediately come up with an answer. So I can say there's a category, memory jogger, and I guess The Blob is ahead of that.
There's no doubt about it. There's only a couple key things in one's life that people remember. I mean, obviously, where were you when John Kennedy got assassinated, Robert Kennedy? And it's amazing that this picture is the only thing I remember the vivid details back to 1958. Congratulations. Such a great fine work. You are amazing.
Yeah, and it's not just the original Blob. You know, he also produced the remake, and you're working on yet another incarnation of the Blob. Isn't that right, Jack?
Yes. In negotiation with major filmmakers, and should be in production by January. The script, I'm happy to say, is a good mix of scary first and foremost, with some laughs and love too.
Nice, nice. Well, you have to promise me one thing, that you'll use another one of these innocent sounding songs and make it scary for us in the remake. Can you do that for us?
Just, not understanding.
Okay, that's okay. That's okay. And you know, so then Jack, I also want to, you know, let our listeners know you've got a book that's coming out. It's kind of your memoirs, right? Can you tell us about that and when that's coming out?
Yes, the book is definitely coming out, and it's called Father of the Blob: The Making of Monster Mash and Other Hollywood Tales, and Monster Smash. Monster Mash. Monster Smash.
That was a song, I think.
Yeah, it was, and he's thinking of innocent songs. So.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah, that's right.
Excellent. Wow. Well, then we can get that. Is it? When's it coming out again?
Next year.
Next year. Excellent. Well, we cannot wait to check that out. And
Now, just a little aside, because we know your age, and we know how successful you've been and all these wonderful people, but we also know that you're a world traveler. Where is the favorite place you've ever been?
Favorite place you've been?
Favorite place? I would say Rio.
Oh.
Rio de Janeiro. Because that's the scene.
The women.
Of my honeymoon with my dear sweet wife, Judith. And when I think of favorite places to be, I just can't resist remembering the wonderful time we had in Rio. And it's a lasting memory, and there's nothing equal to it.
Wow. And you waited
27 years ago.
And I was going to say, you waited a long time to find her, too, I understand.
You waited a long time to find me. I might as well reveal myself.
the woman. The woman voice behind the man.
Yes, the voice behind the man.
Well, I think that's wonderful. You know, Dave and I are newlyweds, and you know, I really think that finding your perfect match later in life, there's nothing like it.
I say that we came in with the salve to heal each other's wounds and to grow together, and that's exactly what happened.
Oh, that is beautiful.
That's a sweet story.
Absolutely.
It really is.
Yeah.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. See, there you go. Something sweet. And, you know, we're going to make it scary because, you know, we want everyone to go out, you know, in October, check out Jack's work, all of his various films, especially
I'm going to go back
Blob.
And watch The Blob now.
Yeah,
I
The
know.
Blob. You're going to want
to
check out The Blob.
I think we're going to have to watch it again. That's going to be my Halloween flick.
Yes. And then, and again, the book is called Father of the Blob, The Making of a Monster Smash and Other Hollywood Tales. We'll make sure that we keep our listeners up to date on when that's coming out specifically. But look for it next year. And, you know, Jack H. Harris, producer of The Blob and so many other legendary horror films, we want to thank you so much for joining us on Breakthrough Entertainment today.
It was indeed a pleasure.
Oh.
And I want to thank you very much for the opportunity.
Oh, it was an honor. It was an honor
thank
here.
Thank you both, and we look forward to The Blob Reincarnated.
And go to Rio.
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
That's on our list.
I like it. Thank you so much. You're a delightful couple and have given many joys and found all these stars, too, and I'm sure everyone appreciates you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
A phenomenal career.
And I thank
you
for the opportunity, and it was a real pleasure.
Well, thank you.
And
thank
that's
you.
Jack H. Harris. And Steve McQueen. I always liked Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Barbara Streisand. I mean, hey, this guy knows everyone.
Yeah.
Impressive, I will say.
And, you know, something that we didn't say, he also started an international distribution company in 1961. Its premier release was Paradiso, the first nudie movie in 3D.
Oh, I saw something
of
like
course,
that.
Of course, Dave
well,
was there.
Well, and, yes. And I was going to make a poor joke because I guess they did a lot of like little
and I did nudie, it in 3D.
Nudie porno-y type stuff, you know, and I thought, well, he got started as The Blob, so, you know.
So I did this 3D movie. It was phenomenal.
Okay.
And
you were in it?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, Jack and I go back a long way.
How long? I'm just teasing.
Okay, now.
No kidding. All right.
No
well.
Kidding. All right.
That was cool.
To Joseph J.
That was a cool guest because I mean the guy
cool.
is a legend, you know.
Yeah, he is.
No, there's no question about it. This guy. I'm sure everyone in Hollywood knows this guy.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
Sounds like he knows everyone in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Well, and he's 97.
Amazing.
He sounds. He has
97 or 96.
Let's not make him older.
Joseph's bio said 96.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me. He's 96 years old, or I should say 96 years young.
And he's still making movies.
And he's still making movies.
Amazing.
He's still traveling the world. He's still in love with his beautiful bride.
And he has a great
this
voice too.
This is the life everybody wants.
He turns 96 next month.
Oh, so
see, yeah, we're
95.
Even making him older than he is.
Wow.
So he's 95.
Oh, sorry about that. 95. Good job.
No, we'll have to skip some of the music, but we're still going to stick with number four because, and I know it's not time yet, but you know what you're going to hear going out of this hour is Barbara Streisand singing the anthem for The Eyes of Laura Mars.
I bet you've never even seen that movie, Joseph.
I have not seen it.
It's a great movie.
When I was pitched, you know, this movie, I was like, I have no idea what that is, and I was talking.
It's a very good
and,
movie.
Sounds like it. Sounds like it. And Yeah, and of course I did choose the song, and it's not exactly the perfect song for our theme today. I don't know if it's really scary, but would you say that that the Barbra Streisand song "Prisoner" is scary after watching The Eyes of Laura Mars, or is it not one of those?
You know what? I don't remember the music. I had no idea actually. I haven't seen that movie probably in 20 years, so okay. I didn't even know Barbra Streisand was involved.
Right, but it was a thriller, right? And you know, so it's
yes, it was.
Yeah,
it's a scary movie.
Oh, excellent, excellent, and you know, I can't wait for the new The Blob. Yes. And I know that they've been working on that for some time, and yeah, you'd think that we would have seen a remake of that sooner because there's been so many other remakes. They've made remakes of remakes.
They've been working quite a while. It looks like since about 2005 they've been trying to get it off the ground. Sometimes you got to have that perfect script to really bring it back.
True, true.
Yeah, but plus, oh, by the way, back to Dave, that's your name. There's a comment from earlier. Joseph has the longest because he names his little buddy Leroy. So I would think that would mean he has the longest.
There you go. Okay. And we've got a lot more coming up on Breakthrough Entertainment's first part of our Halloween Hullabaloo. It's our songs made scary by Horror Movie Show 3. And, we've got a lot of other movies to talk about. Of course, Gone Girl, The Joe Show, Drive Hard, The Good Lie.
Show!
Yeah, we'll get to Walk Among the Tombstones.
I know we had a listener. Eric saw The Joe Show, right?
I did. Kathleen and I went and saw it.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Thoroughly enjoyable watching him squirm on camera.
Very interesting.
Yes. And I know we had one of our listeners, wasn't it Mel from one of Friday's shows, the Advocacy Hour?
Yes, yes.
He was interested in The Walk Among the Tombstones.
He is.
I don't normally...
And The Joe Show, actually.
Really? Okay. Well, I don't normally go back and see some of these movies, but specifically, as a favor to Mel, I went and checked out A Walk Among the Tombstones. And, so that was just opened about 2 weeks ago.
He told me that he wants to see it, but he just can't get his wife to go see it with him.
Well, we'll find out. I'll let Mel know
so that
a little bit later on the show.
He can tell his wife that it's a good movie, right?
Or a bad movie. You don't know. It's we're not revealing. No spoilers here on Breakthrough Entertainment.
It's kind of an action flick, right?
It's a mystery kind of neo-noir.
Does he carry a gun a lot?
Well, who doesn't?
He just needs his hands. He has a particular set of skills. Why can't Mel go to the movie without his wife?
I don't know. I don't like going to the movies by myself.
Well, he doesn't have to go by himself. I mean, come on, Mel.
Well, you can go with him, Greg.
Okay. Joseph,
that's
go
okay.
with him.
That's okay. No.
It sounded like you were offering to go see a flick with Mel.
No, I was saying, Mel, you could go see the movie still. You don't have to wait for your wife whether she wants to see it or not.
He's the host of the Advocacy Hour on Friday afternoon.
Oh, and he listens to our show, you said.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Not every day, I don't think, but he does.
Hey, Mel.
Oh. Huh. Well, maybe
he might be listening now because I told him we were going to review The Joe Show.
Oh.
And I didn't have any idea that you were going to be reviewing the other movie he wanted to see, too. So this should make him happy.
Yes. Again, specifically for him because the studio didn't make it very convenient for me to see it.
What's that thing in our pile's mouth?
So I went back and saw it just for Mel.
What do you think it is, Greg?
His tongue.
Mel is not able to qualify for the
tickets. He might run for governor, he said.
No, Mel's not qualifying for the tickets.
We have other listeners that will be able to call in.
Sometime. In the next 2 hours.
Tickets for Bill Maher. That's going to be so cool tonight.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So stay tuned. And, I think we're almost up to the time where we're going to play our special song from Barbra Streisand. Again, we thank you so much again to producer Jack H. Harris from The Blob and many other legendary horror films, including The Eyes of Laura Mars. And, as we heard, Barbra Streisand was originally cast to star as Laura Mars. Before Faye Dunaway took over the role.
Until she wimped out.
Right. But she didn't wimp out. She still upheld her obligation to sing Prisoner from the Eyes of Laura Mars.
Oh, I'm listening to the song. Well, you want me to talk?
No, we want to do that today because it's a great show. Songs made scary by horror movies.
I'm picturing Barbra Streisand now. You like her?
It doesn't sound like her.
No, it doesn't.
Does that sound
like her?
It's Christian. An anthem.
I don't think it sounds like her. So
belt
then we will say, this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. And we will be right back.
Did
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
This is 1480 KPH.